begin, I'd like to make an announcement. Some of you may already know this, and some of you maybe not, but kind of hard to say. I'm just going to come out straight and say it. There are only 146 shopping days left till Christmas. Glad I got that off my chest. Christmas in July seems to be popping up everywhere. The Hallmark Channel features an entire line of Christmas movies in July. Christmas in July festivals and events are held annually across the country. And midsummer Christmas in July sales seem to be custom made for retailers. Now, why did I bring this up today, on the last morning of the last day of a hot July? Well, about a month ago, on June 27th, my oldest niece posted on Facebook the following message. I walk around like everything is okay, but deep down inside, I just want to put up my Christmas tree. I mean, it's close enough, right? Sure, Christmas is the time that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, but I thought, why not celebrate Christmas in July? Why not celebrate the birth of Jesus all year long? Some of you may celebrate Christmas in July. In many places, it is a tradition. I remember as a kid that July 25th would often fall on a week where I was at summer camp in Maine. Whether I was at Camp Con or day camp, or at Camp Hines with the Boy Scouts, our camp counselors or scoutmasters would tell us of the tradition of Christmas in July, even at camp. They would have us hang our socks on the tent poles on the night of the 24th. And in the morning, lo and behold, there were presents in those socks. It was usually just some candy, but it was only for those of us who still believed in the magic of Christmas. So, if it is possible for retail stores and TV and radio stations to have a Christmas in July, then certainly it is the right of the children of God to have a little Christmas story in July as well. To our shame, we often limit Luke chapter 2 to the Christmas season, when in fact verse 14 gives us daily and eternal peace. Luke 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. To our detriment, we often only read, teach, and preach the second chapter of Luke during that Christmas season, when in fact, its message is more applicable to our daily lives. The birth of Christ was indeed the greatest gift of heaven, for without the birth, there would be only death and burial, no resurrection, and therefore, no hope. There are other gifts mentioned with the birth of Christ that we often overlook and, in fact, possibly ignore, when without them, our day-to-day lives would be unbearable. Can you recall the time in your life when there was no peace in your heart or soul? The constant desire for fulfillment, satisfaction, love, acceptance, understanding, and fellowship with something greater than yourself. Before the birth of Christ, there was no peace on earth, no true peace, nor was there goodwill toward men. As alluded to earlier, possibly the best known and most beloved passage of Scripture read at Christmas time is the account of the birth of Jesus, found in Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. I'm going to read just a part of that, verses 8 through 14. As recorded in the New King James Version. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Now, I imagine almost everyone here remembers Charlie Brown and Lucy in the comic strips. Well, a few years ago in the Sunday comics, Lucy was pictured walking up to Charlie Brown, saying, just before Christmas, and saying, "Charlie, since it is Christmas, I suggest that we lay aside all our differences and be friends for this season of the year." Charlie Brown replied, "That's a great idea, Lucy. But why does it have to be just at this time of the year? Why can't we be friends all year long?" Lucy looks at him with that look that only Lucy can get and says, "All year long? What are you, a fanatic or something? Wouldn't it be wonderful if people everywhere actually started to practice the things we hear and sing about at Christmas time? Wouldn't it be wonderful if people everywhere would take the spirit of Christmas with them all year long? I would like to think as Christians, we do show that feeling, that Christmas spirit all year long. And when it comes to thinking about how Christmas should affect us as believers in Christ, I think back to the Christmas hymn, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Yet pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." Now, if all who talked about peace on earth during December actually started to practice it all year long, and those who talk about goodwill towards men suddenly began to be good to those around them and recruited others to do so as well, think how different our world would be. Someone once compared Christmas to skydiving. Christmas is like that sense of freedom and excitement you feel when you jump out of an airplane and are free falling through the air. You feel the wind on your face, and you can see the beauty of God's world for miles around. But the earth is rushing toward you, so you pull the ripcord. Your parachute jerks open, and soon you hit the ground with a jolt. For a few brief moments, you felt a wonderful exhilaration, and then, plop. You're on the ground, facing reality once again, back to the humdrum of everyday life. Is that what has happened to Christmas? Christmas is wonderful, and then, plop. It is face to face with reality once again. What about the shepherds who heard the angels and saw the baby Jesus? Did that Christmas make any difference in their lives? And what about the wise men who came to worship, who brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh? I'd like to believe that once they saw Jesus, their lives were never quite the same. Certainly, life was never the same again for Mary and Joseph. They now had a baby to take care of, and their lives were changed forever. I remember when my first niece, Jessica, was born. Yes, the same one wanted to put up her Christmas tree on June 27th. I saw her tiny little face and realized that I shared the responsibility of molding and forming her personality and guiding her to be what God wanted her to be. Even as an uncle, that was an awesome responsibility. I imagine Mary and Joseph felt that in much a greater way than any of us could, because the child they held in their arms was God's only begotten Son. They were responsible for raising God's child. The late Irma Bombeck, in her book, If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, Why Am I Always in the Pits?, recalled the legend of a church where the chimes rang miraculously whenever someone gave a generous gift. But the chimes hadn't rung for a long time. Even though kings and potentates had come to give gifts of gold and silver and precious gems, the chimes had not rung for a long, long time. But one Christmas Eve, a little peasant boy came down the aisle and knelt before the altar. As he thought about the Christ child lying in the manger, he took off his tattered coat and laid it on the altar. When he did, the chimes rang loud and joyously. Irma Bombeck wrote, "I've heard the chimes ring too. I remember a Christmas when one of my sons brought me a piece of tattered construction paper on which he had tried to draw a picture of praying hands, and underneath it, the picture, he had written, 'O come, Holy Spirit.' When I saw that," she said, "I heard the chimes ring, and I knew that a very special gift had been given. On another Christmas, I received a shoebox, all clumsily wrapped. When I opened it, I found two baseball cards and a piece of gum. Again, I heard the chimes ring. And I heard the chimes ring when the kids got together and cleaned the garage and gave that as their Christmas present to me. Those days are long gone," she remembered. "Days when we fashioned lace doilies into snowflakes and pipe cleaners into Christmas trees. Those days are long gone." She continues, "I remember little feet coming down the stairs with a handmade gift wrapped up in $2 worth of wrapping paper to put underneath the tree. Those little feet now wear pantyhose and fashion boots. Little hands that used to break the piggy bank to get 59 cents to buy a Christmas gift now hold credit cards and that are good in any store in town. We'll have a good Christmas this year," she wrote. "We'll eat too much. We'll make a mess of the living room and put bows on the dog's tail. We'll take bite out of cookies. We'll listen to Christmas songs. And we'll have a good Christmas. But Lord, I wouldn't give to bend over one more time and receive some toothpicks held together by library paste and to hear the chimes ring just one more time." I told that story because of this. You see, our homes are important because it is at home that we not only talk about love and trust, but we learn to live with love and trust. It is at home where we don't just talk about peace on earth and goodwill to men, but we learn to live it. Our children will go out into the world as ambassadors of peace if they're taught that. But if they don't learn about peace, they'll go out into a world angry and upset at themselves and everyone else. You see, home is the place where we mold and fashion little people into big people who will one day mold and fashion the world of which they are a part. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us took the message of Christmas and made it a permanent part of our lives and put it into practice all year long? Wouldn't it be something if we would take the message of Christmas wherever we went? Now, I know that is not fashionable today. We are being told that you can't mix church and state, that somehow you've got to put religion in a box and only take it out on Sunday morning. You're not supposed to pray in school. You're not supposed to talk about God at work. But what a difference it would make if we did take Christ into the marketplace, into the workplace, to school, and to wherever we go, and not just leave him in the manger. What a difference he would make all year long. If we take Christ into our homes, our jobs, our schools, to all our activities, then he becomes the solid foundation on which we as Christians can build our lives all year long, and not just at Christmas time. There are people preaching a false doctrine that says If you become a Christian, then God will take care of everything for you. You won't have to be concerned about anything, because God will make you healthy and wealthy from that day on. Some are making that the foundation of their faith. And when it doesn't happen to them, they lose their faith. But God never made that promise. He didn't promise that to Mary and Joseph. Sure, sometime after Christmas came the wise men, and that was exciting. But soon came a time of hardship for Mary and Joseph. We all know the story of Matthew chapter 2, of Herod hearing from the Magi that the Messiah had been born, and of Herod's vengeance to rid the land of all boys under 2 years of age. Mary and Joseph had to flee from Bethlehem, first to Egypt, then to Israel. And while nearly there, they had to change their plans again and head to Galilee, and finally to a town called Nazareth. When they made their home in Nazareth, do you think that life for them was a bed of roses? I'm sure that it wasn't. They worked, paid bills, bought food, and went through all the monotonies of life. Living in a conquered land under the iron fist of Rome, they must have at times have been worried and anxious, and maybe even afraid. In fact, at some point along the way, Joseph is no longer there. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know how or when he died. But there came a time when Mary found herself without a husband, without a father at home for her children. Life wasn't easy. It was hard. And I wonder sometimes if Mary ever felt that God had forgotten about them. How about us? We have our problems too, don't we? We've experienced hardships and faced financial difficulties. We've shed tears. We've been touched by illness and death. Life has not been easy for us either. It's been hard. But Jesus in our lives is the one thing that makes all the difference, that gives us a solid foundation, the strength to endure and even to overcome. So the real work of Christmas is not over. It is work that we as Christians must do every day, all year long. To find the lost, to lift the brokenhearted, to feed the hungry, to visit the prisoner, to rebuild this nation, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, to make music in the heart. That is the real work of Christmas. So, Christmas in July? Could it be that somehow God is reminding us to acknowledge and celebrate Jesus every day? Not when we just choose to celebrate his birthday? Or have a dire need of him to rescue us from our bigger problems? In a sense, after the Christmas holiday is over, how many of us put Christ just back in the box? At Christmas time, we unpack all the decorations, the lights, the bulbs, the nativity sets, and place them around for all to see. But once this holiday is over, all the decorations, the lights, the bulbs, the nativity sets, and all the remnants of the festivities get packed away until next season. So many times, we choose when to celebrate Christ for a time, and then simply pack him away until a future need. But we need Jesus every day, all year long, not just at Christmas time. Jesus, God's only Son, didn't come down to earth as an adult. He was born, raised, and grew up living among the people of that time. His life story has been written to show us of the greater wonders of the only Son of God, the one prophesied about, the one foretold of, long before he came. Let us not forget who this baby, this special gift, was and is to come. On that first Christmas, an angel proclaimed, "I have good news of great joy for everyone." Mary and Joseph certainly experienced joy that night. What new parents don't, holding their first child in their arms? But Mary and Joseph experienced great joy, knowing that this baby they held was indeed the Son of God. They knew that baby Jesus was conceived miraculously by the Holy Spirit. They knew of angelic visits. To Mary, the birth of Jesus was not just that of the birth of a son. It was the birth of her Savior. The coming of the Messiah brought her great joy. She proclaimed, "Oh, how I praise the Lord, how I rejoice in God, my Savior." The shepherds also experienced great joy on that first Christmas night. Imagine tending sheep out in the middle of the dark desert. Just think how you would feel if you were tending sheep in the dark loneliness and suddenly an angel announced, "I have good news of great joy." The angel brought the shepherds news of the long-awaited Messiah. These lowly shepherds were the first to hear of the news of his birth. And what exciting news it was. And then the scriptures tell us that the angel was joined by a vast host of angels singing and praising God. The news of Jesus' birth brought great joy in heaven and on earth. We're told that heaven itself rejoiced at the news of the Savior to mankind. Imagine being there with the shepherds, hearing this angelic choir praising God. And when they saw Jesus, they must have been filled with joy, great joy. They knew the baby lying in the manger was the Messiah, their Savior. Their life was never the same. They returned to the fields, to their flock, to their livelihood. But we are told they returned glorifying and praising God because they had experienced the Savior. I'm sure for that the rest of their life, while they were in those fields watching their sheep by night, great joy must have filled their hearts once more as they thought of that holy night and the baby in the manger. I think of two more people that the news of Jesus' birth brought great joy to on that first Christmas. Simeon was a devout and godly man. He too was longing for the arrival of the Messiah. But Simeon's longing was so intense that God promised him he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. When Mary and Joseph brought baby Jesus into the temple to be dedicated, the Holy Spirit revealed at that time to Simeon that God's promise had come true. As Simeon held the baby in his arms, he was filled with great joy. He said, "Now I have everything I need." Finding that same joy, he said, "I am ready to die in peace, for I have seen the Savior." Anna was also a godly, devout person. She too was in the temple that day praying when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple for dedication. When Anna saw Jesus, she began praising God. The scripture tells us Anna was filled with such joy that the Messiah had come, she told everyone about him. Luke 2, verse 38, she talked about Jesus to everyone. A pastor was preparing a Christmas message. He fell asleep in his study at the church. He dreamed that he was in a world into which Jesus had never come. In the dream, he walked out on the streets, but there were no church spires pointing to heaven. He was summoned by a weeping child to visit his dying mother, but on arriving, found that his Bible ended with the Old Testament. The New Testament, with all its promises of heaven, had disappeared from his Bible. The pastor bowed his head and wept in bitter despair. For he could afford her no hope beyond the grave. Suddenly, the pastor was awakened by the choir down the hall practicing the familiar Christmas carols. Great joy filled his soul, he said, as he realized as never before why we sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." "I have good news of great joy that will be to all people," the angel proclaimed. God's gift of salvation is for everyone. There is no one beyond God's grace. I'm so thankful that included me. I do not deserve God's wondrous gift of salvation, but he sent Jesus to die for me anyway. We have this amazing gift in salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, Paul exclaims, Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This gift is our deliverance, our rescue, our freedom, our salvation, and our hope. Great joy comes in the fact that even in this imperfect, often ugly world, we as Christians can have hope, peace, and contentment. How often do we take the gift of salvation for granted? The thought of such a gift should give us great joy. Does it? Praise should be on our lips with the victory we have in Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior. Is there praise on our lips? Because the shepherds experienced the Savior, their lives were filled glorifying and praising God. Are our lives filled with glorifying and praising God? Anna was so filled with joy about her Savior that the Bible says she talked about Jesus to everyone. Whom have you told? So maybe next year you'll start a new tradition celebrating Christmas in July. Or maybe you'll just wait until July 26th to take down your Christmas tree and put the decorations back into storage. Whatever the case, may Christmas music and the sounds of excitement linger in our hearts all year long. May the songs of peace on earth and goodwill towards men be in our hearts all throughout the year and forever. May we take its message with us daily so that all the world might be touched by it. The peace and goodwill provided was a gift from the Creator unto his creation. Let us now consider the gifts given that night and proclaimed by the heavenly host unto the earth. My thought this morning is that we will acknowledge the gift and the giver and accept the peace and goodwill of the Father. This morning, if you want to know what it's like to have that feeling of Christmas in your heart all year long, and not only for those 30 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas, if you want to know what it's like to have that feeling of Christmas in your heart all year long, and have people think you're a fanatic or something, then God's invitation is extended to you. If you have never experienced his love, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you are searching for a church home, then we invite you to make that decision this morning as together we stand and sing our invitational song.